Hey, make the money, make it do a backflip. Do it for the team, homie, that shit. Used to put money in the mattress. We do it all the time, no practice. I bet the money, make it do it. I bet the money, make it do it, make it do a backflip. I bet the money, make it do it. I bet the money, make it do it, make it do a backflip.
A young nigga with a promised future. I gotta get the dough, nigga, no excuses. You wasn't really real, it was nice to know you told God. Yeah. Only about the real, he said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Time, but it's coming in fast though.
What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as King Flex, K Flex, Tariq Nasheed, whatever you want to call me. I'm here and I'm back in Los Angeles. I was over in Holland doing a series of lectures this week, and the show is a day late, but I'm here ready to chop up some good game. Today's show is brought to you by the movie 7 a.m. That's going to be in theaters January 17th. Go to 7ammovie.com. Real good game about getting your economic base popping. That's 7ammovie.com. And today's show is brought to you by the Hidden Colors film, Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. That's Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. You can get that at HiddenColorsFilm.com. And since it's a holiday, ladies and gentlemen, we got a brand new Mackish package that's on sale today, ladies and gentlemen. And this sale is going to be going on until next Wednesday. So this Mackish package sale for Christmas, limited time only, and let me let you know what you're going to get. On this year's Mackish package, that's only available for 1 week, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get 8 items, and you can cover your whole Christmas list with this one Mackish package, by the way. On this Mackish package, you're going to get the Flex Step boots, those fly-ass boots, that's already worth the price of the whole package by themselves, all right? You're going to get the boots. That's one thing. You're going to get the international sunglasses. You're going to get a Cooperate hat. You're going to get a No Justice shirt from the Tariq Elite line. You're going to get a Heraldry t-shirt from the Tariq Elite line. You're going to get a Liberty shirt from the Tariq Elite line. You're going to get a Mac Lessons DVD. And you're going to get a Eugenics movie DVD. You're getting 8 items, ladies and gentlemen, for just $99. That's basically paying for the postage. We're giving it away free damn near. You're just paying for the postage. Go to TariqRadio.com. Go to the top of the page to get this Mackish package deal, ladies and gentlemen. You can cover your whole Christmas list with this Mackish package, ladies and gentlemen. And again, the sale ends December 17th, 2014. So get it. We'll get it to you before Christmas. That's why we're cutting the sale off at December 17th. So ladies and gentlemen, you can get the package to you before Christmas. So get that now. Order it today. Go to TariqRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get into some game. I want to have some people call up. The phone number is 818-850-5404. Now, we were planning on doing a food drive or a toy drive. We wanted to do it before Christmas, but I just got back in from out of the country, and it's just such short notice for us to get everything organized because we were going to work with our brothers and sisters at the Culture Connection in Chicago, and we had a lot of brothers and sisters down to volunteer, but we were having some trouble for the pickup venue, and that still has not been finalized, and we've been dealing with contractual agreements from different venues that we may or may not use. So unfortunately, just the timing of it, we won't have enough time to get the toy drive going on by next week. But what we'll do, we'll see if we can try to push it like some kind of food or toy drive for Black History Month. So that gives us a little more time. Again, the fact that I was out of the country, that kind of slowed everything down. So I couldn't really get it going like I wanted to get going. And, you know, I'm traveling and my days are off because Holland is like 9 hours ahead. So it's crazy. So unfortunately, because of the timing and the travel constraints, I just didn't have a chance to, we won't have a chance to put it together properly, because I don't want to throw something together that's half-assed as far as a toy or food drive, but we're going to get it together. So don't trip. I keep everybody posted, and go to melanoidnation.org for more details. Let's see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, man? This is Mario from Memphis.
Mario from Memphis. How you doing, fam?
Oh, pretty good, man. I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate everything you're doing, you know, as far as Hidden Colors and everything else.
Yes,
but
sir.
I just got a general question. I wanted your opinion on something.
Go ahead.
What do you think is a more lucrative business? Because I'm in the corporate world now, but I'm thinking about just taking up another trade. Do you think of like cell phone repair, electronic repair, or auto mechanic business? Which one, just personally, do you think would be more lucrative?
Well, you know, it depends on what your expertise is in. See, the thing is, you should go into business for money, to make money, but you also should go into business doing something that you are an expert in, something that you're very confident in, something that you're well-versed in, because whatever you're well-versed in, it will be lucrative. See, it ain't about the trade, because, for example, crack can sell. But if you're a shitty, drug dealer, you're just not going to make a lot of money. You dig?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anything that you put your heart into and your energy into will sell. Just like the Hidden Color series. Like a lot of people now want to kind of start putting together history documentaries now. But it's the way and the passion that you put in it is what you're going to get out of it. Because there's been African history documentaries before, but why is Hidden Colors the most successful series? That's because a lot of love and a lot of quality control was put into the film. So it's all about what you put into it and the passion that you put in it. You understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
So what are you more passionate about, cell phones or car repair? What are you more passionate about?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I guess I'm more passionate about as far as fixing cars. But the thing about it is, see, I'm just going to be going to a trade school. And, you know, I really don't. You know, I'm not good at that yet in order to have someone pay me for it. So, you know, I have a long road. I guess I have a long road ahead of me, you see.
Well, that's good. Yeah. A long road is, there's nothing wrong with a long road. The problem is a lot of us, man, we don't want to start from the bottom and work our way up. We see, especially black folks, we see somebody roll and fly, and then we want to immediately get on his level. You know what I'm saying? And you don't know what that dude did to get on that level. You don't know what that sister did to get on her level. You don't know what she did. You don't know if she had to start from the bottom, which most likely she or he did. So there's no shortcut to success, really. You got to get out there and grind. You got to get out there and hustle with it, man, and do something that you're passionate about. You feel me?
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed. Do what you're passionate about. When you do something that you're passionate about, the money is going to come. That's why my books became bestsellers. My book, The Art of Mackin' and all that, books on dating and all that, I was passionate about dating and relationships and understanding the game and the ins and outs of dating and relationships, and that's why the books took off. You understand? So you got to be passionate about certain things. Let's see who's on the phone. Well, a lot of folks are calling. The phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. That is the number, 818-850-5404. Let's see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hello.
What's up, man?
Hello?
Okay, hello. Who's this?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Tyree.
Yeah, okay.
I know you hear me. Y'all ain't know me. How's the stalker?
Okay, this nigga and his lady on the phone on crack. Look at you niggas. Just both of y'all on that narcotic. He ain't shit and his lady ain't shit. First he answered the phone, handed it to her little crackheaded ass, and they back in the background giggling. Two little crackheads sitting in a tree. Hot fucking pipe. Water seeps its own level. You know, sometimes when people date each other, sometimes people complain about getting with the wrong people. Sometimes you with the right motherfucker. Sometimes you're dating the right people. Those two are meant for each other. Two dusty niggas playing on my phone. He goofy, she goofy. Sitting up on Section 8 playing on my damn phone. High as a kite. Her lace front's probably hanging all off the side of her head. This nigga's edge up probably looks like sauerkraut dried up on this nigga's head. The number is 818-850-5404. It's just amazing. That's a two goofy niggas in stereo. What's up? What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, Tariq, what's good, man? This your boy, Thoroughbred Dread out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Thoroughbred Dread, how you doing, family?
Everything going well. I can't complain at all, man. First off, congratulations on you making it back safe from Amsterdam.
Yes, sir.
And all that good stuff.
Yes, sir. Much respect. Much respect.
Okay. Really, I just wanted to call and tell you that, you know, congratulations on making it back. How was it? And also, I wanted to also say that me and my brother are actually on the way to do something for our community. In the wake of a lot of different scenarios, not including the Mike Brown situation and, you know, the New York situation, but a lot of situations that happen in our local community, and we actually are putting, hold on one second, I'm sorry. We're putting something on for our community as far as just having an outreach that people can pretty much come out and just say whatever they feel and come together and make certain scenarios so we can make our community better.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Brother, are you in a car chase right now? What's all that noise in the back, brother?
I'm actually in a car. We headed to the meeting right now as we speak. So that's the situation. You know, it's a holiday season and, you know, a lot of cars and traffic and so on.
Oh, okay. It sounds like y'all speeding down the street like y'all just robbed a damn check cashing place or something, brother.
We ain't robbed no check cashing place.
What's the name of the venue that you guys are going to so people will know?
The name of the venue is called Stop the Violence, and it's called Increase the Peace. There was a young girl in Atlanta, in Lithonia, Georgia, November 23rd. She was waiting at the bus stop, basically, and a random dude walked up to her. He was 18 years old, and the girl was 19. A random dude walked up to her, shot her, and killed her, and robbed her, and just, you know, just left like it was nothing. It was a senseless crime.
Right.
So instead of letting this situation be another situation that we just sweep under the rug, I wanted to have a community meeting with everybody in Lithonia, Georgia area. So that's basically what this is. And
okay.
the place where it's going to be held is Silk 2 Bar and Grill. It's on Farrington Road in Lithonia, Georgia. And it's supposed to have started at 7 tonight, but it's so much traffic, and you know how sometimes we be on CP time. Just like you be on CP time, Tariq.
Yeah, I am today, definitely. I'm doing the show a day later, yeah.
Hey, same here, man. I'm the one hosting the show, man, and I'm everybody calling me, where you at? But, I'm 2 minutes away from the venue now, but that's what this is, Tariq. I wanted to make sure, instead of just letting this situation be another situation that people who just, you know, just like, oh, rest in peace and nay, and we just sweep it under the rug. I wanted to make sure we had, we bring some solutions to the table so we can possibly stop something like this from happening again. And
there you go,
and
man.
And also, man, go ahead, Tariq.
All right, thanks for the call, brother. All right, I can't let the brother go on and on. That's another thing. So a lot of folks call up and just kind of go on and on and on. Okay, brother, I get the point out. Let's get to the point. Shut it down and keep it pushing. There you go, fam. Let's get to the point. Say what you got to say and let's keep it pushing. We got to get the flow of the show going. All right. Let's chop up some game. There's a lot of stuff going on. From what I understand today, and there's a lot of protests still going on all over the country. And up in Oakland, and this is something that people got to be very careful of, speaking of people doing activism work and protest. In Oakland, there were some undercover cops who were posing as protesters who were outed. And I've been saying this before, man. A lot of these people that you see out here protesting from the dominant society, a lot of these people are agent provocateurs and undercover cops. Let's just, if you want to keep it 100. All these people you see, you know, walk around, the hands up, don't shoot. A lot of these people are undercover cops and agent provocateurs. Some people are there to monitor people. They're out there posing like protesters. They got the signs and all that old stuff. And they're monitoring activity and reporting activity back to their supervisors. Some of them are actually agent provocateurs who are trying to instigate certain situations so that there could be a heavily policed area presence there. This is what happened with these cops up in Oakland. These two cops, one was white, and I think the other one may have been black. He had on like a mask, and his face was covered rather. And they were marching with protesters, chanting with the protesters, but some of the protesters said that these two particular people were banging on windows and hitting stores and hitting cars and all this, trying to rile people up so they could start looting. And when the other protesters called them out and stepped to them, all of a sudden they pulled out their guns and badges. And then they called backup, and then uniformed cops came to back them up. And there's pictures of this circulating on the news wires today. And this happened up in Oakland. One of the white cop, the undercover cop, pulled his gun out on reporters, people from some of the national news outlets, while they were arresting one of the protesters, one of the real protesters. So people, you got to be careful out here. You got to be very careful out here who these people out here marching with you. Because see, the white supremacists, they got all this stuff locked down. They got all of it. They're playing chess out here. They got all their pieces covered. So we got to watch out what's going on out here. And again, the whole world is looking at this situation. When I was over in Holland, they were talking about this. They were talking about what's going on over here. They were really, really interested in what we were going to do, what were some of these solutions. They were very well acquainted with the situation that was happening over here as far as the black folks getting killed and no justice being served. Let's see who's on the phone. Okay, come on, phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
Hello?
What's up, T-Plus?
What's up? Who's this?
This is Johnny calling from D.C.
Johnny from D.C. What's on your mind, Johnny?
Hey, man. I'm not sure if anyone's brought this up yet, but I'd like to get your thoughts on the Hollywood hack from Sony execs and the racially insensitive email comments.
Yes. Good question, man. I read all that today, man, and it's very interesting. What the young man right now is talking about, Sony executives, there were some emails that were hacked from them, and they were talking real greasy about black folks. They were talking real greasy. They were talking greasy about Kevin Hart. They were talking greasy about Obama. Some of these people in Hollywood, they're having some kind of fundraiser for Obama, and a couple of big wig Sony execs were talking about, well, when we do this fundraiser for Obama, what movie should we ask him, does he like? 12 Years a Slave. What other movies did they say? They were saying all these little black movies.
12 Years a Slave, The Butler.
Right.
You name it.
All these black movies with butlers and maids, they were going to referencing this to Barack Obama. And what's more interesting is what they were saying about Kevin Hart. And this just shows how devious people are as far as our brand and how they will manipulate us in the media. These execs were complaining that Kevin Hart was asking for money to promote some new movie. I think this new movie he has coming out. And I think they wanted him to tweet about it. And Kevin Hart was like, well, let me, you know, break bread. Let me get some more paper. And they were like, Kevin Hart, he's a whore and all this old shit. And that goes back to this whole thing where black folks should be grateful that they're getting any money. It's that type of thing. They used to say that about the boxer Jack Johnson. Whenever he made all this money, he would ask for more. And they would be like, oh, this nigga has too much money, much more money than a nigga should have. It's that type of mentality. And I take my hat off to Kevin Hart for protecting his brand and getting every damn dime he can, because they will try to whore you out and pimp on you out here. So if you're going to be a hoe, you hoe for yourself. And I ain't mad at him for getting every single damn dime he can get. And one of the comments that these people said in the email, they were like, we can do something to make his brand or his star diminish or something like that. You read that?
Yeah, I did. And it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes to the people who are in control in Hollywood.
Yes, indeed.
And the people who are pushing and trying to perpetuate a stereotype of the black community and black people in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. But hey, man, thank you for the call, brother.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, but it's real telling, man. It's very interesting how they sit up, these executives, and they'll smile in your face And these people are vitriolic behind your back, man. They will despise you and talk about you behind your back like it's nothing. I'm so not shocked. This is what goes on. And every blue moon, they'll get caught. But this is the reason why you don't see too many positive images of movies of black people in Hollywood. This is the reason why. Look at what these top executives are saying. This is how they feel about us. This is the main reason why I do the Hidden Colors series. This is the main reason. These people with all of these billions of dollars who are running the show, they're trying to perpetuate and maintain the system of white supremacy. And they were low-key hinting at sabotaging Kevin Hart's career if his numbers in his movies don't maintain their money-making status. See, the thing is, when we come out, black folks, we gotta win. None of that half-ass shit. We can't do like 5 or 6 movies that flop like a couple of, you know, major white artists in Hollywood. We can't do that. We gotta hit every single time. And we don't know when we're gonna stop hitting. And the minute you stop hitting, they'll throw your ass under the bus and find a way to manipulate that money that they gave you back into their system. So Kevin Hart is doing the right thing for stacking his money all the way up while he's hot. Because the minute he does a flop movie, they already let you know in these emails, they're already hinting his brand is over. They're gonna start throwing his ass under the bus. Kevin needs to get every dime possible. That's why Bill Cosby is being thrown under the bus. See, Bill Cosby is not really a money-making brand in Hollywood no more. So they have no problem throwing him under the bus and funneling that money that they gave him back into the white community. That's why they keep wheeling out a new white woman every week talking about she was sexually assaulted by Bill Cosby. Now, some of these stories are just beyond unbelievable now. It's almost silly to this point. At this point, some of these stories about Bill Cosby, it's silly to the point where it don't even make sense. Some women say they were drugged over and over again. They're making shit up as they go along, it sounds like. And they got some of these white supremacist lawyers out here trying to get that paper, trying to figure out ways to get the money back. And the former model, Beverly Johnson, she just did a story, I think it was in Vanity Fair, where she was talking about, now she's claiming Bill Cosby sexually assaulted her after he drugged her or something like that. So she's trying to get in the mix. And Beverly Johnson, beautiful black lady, now she's trying to get on the bandwagon. And black folks got to understand this. When they do these slander stories like this, some of the black people try to jump on the bandwagon. I don't know if they're just satisfied with getting the renewed attention. I don't know if they think that they're going to get a payoff too. These payoffs are never for the black folks. This is why the 1 or 2 black people who have come out against Bill Cosby, there's no money going to them. Ain't nobody talking about representing them as far as the law or any kind of lawsuits. No money is going to them because that would defeat the whole purpose of this whole slander campaign against Bill Cosby. The name of the game, and like I've said before, is to get the money and the resources away from black hands. All of those millions of dollars that's going to be potentially passed down to Bill Cosby's heirs, they're trying to get that money back into the white society. And taking it from one black person and giving it to another black person, that ain't gonna happen. That's why they got all these white women on TV talking about filing a class action suit. See, y'all got to understand the chess game here. This is a big ass game of chess. And there's some black people sitting up here trying to co-sign these white supremacists. Y'all don't understand the game. And this is why we keep losing, because we got a lot of Negroes and Negresses out here who don't understand the game. They don't understand propaganda. And again, Bill Cosby, too. And I put some of the blame on him for allowing the white supremacists to manipulate him to get rid of his black base by bad-mouthing black folks. See, Bill brought a lot of this on himself by bad-mouthing black folks. He was setting himself up for failure, and the white supremacists gave him enough rope to hang himself. I did a whole show about that. I don't want to revamp that. But that is what it is. Let's get another call here. What's up? Who's calling?
Yeah, what's going on, Tariq? This is Cal from Montgomery, Alabama. What's happening, man?
What's up, Cal from Montgomery? What's on your mind, fam?
What's good, man? Yo, I had a very poignant question, bro. Okay, how is it that, and I was watching some of the things that you were posting about Amsterdam.
Yes.
How is it that we are looked down upon, supposedly, with white supremacy? And I know that's the case, but we always end up at the topic of conversation. They want to be like us. They want to wait on everything we do. They want to copy us culturally. Like, why is that?
Because our status basically creates the white supremacist identity. And
okay.
let me repeat that again. Our status creates the white supremacist identity. The good thing about being a white supremacist is being, quote unquote, supreme over other groups of people, particularly black folks. So
Okay. That's
the only thing that gives a white supremacist their identity, them shitting on us, them coming up with ways to disenfranchise us, them coming up with ways to incarcerate us, them coming up with ways to keep us on an unequal level. That's the only thing that keeps some of these white supremacists waking up in the morning. And a lot of black folks don't understand that, because some of them will, just like these Sony execs, just look at that. These people are billionaires sitting up discussing black folks, talking shit about black folks. Donald Sterling, he's a billionaire up in his bedroom having pillow talk, talking about black folks. You dig?
Yeah.
And people pretend that we're not on their minds. Because I had a white supremacist dude tell me, he was like, well, Tariq, it ain't like us white people are just sitting around discussing you blacks all day. And I'm like, basically you are, because y'all come up with all types of think tanks and different secret groups to come up with ways to do stuff to us. You dig? So it's a 24-hour day thing that you guys have going. You have institutions designed to disenfranchise us. So it's a constant thing. And that's what... For us to counter that, we got to start thinking about black empowerment. And this has to be a global thing. This is why we got to reach out to our brothers and sisters globally and start empowering ourselves to combat that. Because this is what they say about us, and this is what they do about us every day. We are on their mind. The white supremacists, we're on their mind. So we got to protect ourselves daily. See, we out here just playing around, bullshitting around, and not trying to empower ourselves, thinking that nobody's paying attention to us. And people are plotting on us daily. So we got to get serious about empowering ourselves. You feel me?
I feel you, man. I appreciate everything you do, bro.
Much respect, fam. Shout out to everybody who came to see me in Holland, man. There was a sister, because people came in from all over the place. Brothers flew in from New York to see me out there. People came in from London. There was a sister from London who wanted to book me for another lecture in London, and all my people kind of brushed her off because there was a lot of folks talking to me. Sister, if you can hit me up, I couldn't get your name, sister, but if you're listening, email me at info@tariqelite.com, because I know a lot of folks want me to go out to London now. When I did my lectures out there in Holland, I did basically three. The first one I did was for the organization, the promoters that brought me here, Sister Dion. Shout out to Dion. It was an organization called Izzy Solutions. And, you know, they got a grant from the state, and they put their money together and all this stuff. And one of the contentions of the grant, they wanted me to talk to some students. And that lecture was free. That was early in the day. Now, the other lectures were paid lectures, and both of those lectures were sold out. And what's interesting, they were going to have a lot of students come, and there are a lot of so-called unruly black students or problematic black students that they have at some of the schools out there. Because surprisingly, there's a lot of black people in Holland. In Amsterdam, there's a lot of black people in Amsterdam. When I showed pictures of the crowds on Instagram and Twitter, a lot of people were surprised that there those many black people were out there. But there's a lot of black people there from Africa. The majority of black people there that I met are from a place called Suriname down in South America that was colonized by the Dutch, and the Africans were brought there. So again, they're just still African people. And we were going to do the talk for these students. These white teachers were going to bring their students, and a lot of them came. A lot of the students came. It was still packed. But what was interesting, before we did the thing with the students, the promoter, Dion, hit me up. She was like, and I got this on video. We were talking about this, and you go to Tariq Live on my YouTube page. My YouTube page is Tariq Live. That's one of my YouTube pages. She was like, the promoter, she said, well, Tariq, we got a problem. Some of the teachers, they got a little afraid after they saw Hidden Colors 3, because when they announced that I was coming out there, there was a strong buzz, and the first lecture sold out in one day. So now everybody's out there talking about me coming, and this buzz is real hot now. So now the teachers are like, okay, we want to see, who is this guy? What's the deal? We want to see what's going on. We want to take our students, since this is a project about African history and all that, we want to take the students. And since everybody's talking about this, let's take a look at the DVD. So again, everything was already scheduled. They had buses ready to bring students out from these schools. And the teachers saw Hidden Colors 3, and these white teachers said, hell no. These teachers said, hell no, we ain't taking our students to go see anybody talking this. So some of the teachers and students reneged, and they just didn't go. They refused to come because they didn't want some of their students to get riled up by looking and listening to this information. Now, we didn't do a screening. It was just me talking. But they didn't want the students to get riled up from the information. This is what we were told directly. And we got a video of the promoter telling me this. The sister, she's Dutch. And she was explaining this to me. Because the students were already some... They're labeled as the troubled kids. And troubled kids are basically kids who are not being properly educated. I always blame the teachers. Some of these so-called troubled kids will end up being some of our best leaders if they're nurtured correctly. And when I was talking to some of these kids, the ones who came, because a lot of them did come, it was real bright kids. There's nothing wrong with these kids. Because the people, the teachers who did bring the kids, they were surprised at how attentive the children were to me. And when I say kids, I mean they, 15, 16, 17, they were that age. These were older kids, but they were like, they never sat still and just really paid attention to anybody like that. And that's because nobody was giving them information that was really, really pertinent to them that they could really relate to. But they were feeling the information. But I had a wonderful time out there in Holland. Holland is a beautiful, Amsterdam is a beautiful city. Beautiful city. I went on something called the Black Heritage Tours. A sister named Jennifer, who's a sister from out here. She's from the Americas, but her family's out there in Holland. So she has moved back out there, and she gives these Black Heritage Tours. Great tour. It talks about all of these hidden images of Black people throughout the city of Amsterdam. Real heavy stuff. If you ever get a chance to go out there, brother, look up the Black Heritage Tour of Amsterdam. Real heavy stuff. But the people were out there absolutely amazing, man. My first lecture sold out in one day. They had to get another venue. That one sold out. So I did two sold out lectures. The crowds were absolutely phenomenal. The brothers and sisters out there in Holland are beautiful brothers and sisters, man. Their spirit is so alive. They loved me. I loved them. The energy was insane. One brother I met at the lecture, the first one, he was describing how he saw Hidden Colors 1. This brother said the information in Hidden Colors was so powerful that because he's epileptic, he saw the movie and started having seizures. And every time he would think about the movie, he would have seizures. He would just start twitching. He would go into fits, and his hands and body would move and convulse uncontrollably. And we got, I videoed him after the lecture while I was talking to him in the hallway, because he said this in front of the crowd, and then he caught me again after the lecture, and we were talking backstage. And it was kind of funny the way he was describing it, and I was kind of laughing at the way he was describing it, but I wasn't laughing at the brother's situation. he was describing, he was saying basically, man, you know, I used to think that white people were my gods. They were just like my gods. And I think this brother's like Eritrean or Ethiopian originally, but he lives in Holland now. And he said, I was almost like a slave in the way I would think. And I saw hidden colors and I just started to have seizures uncontrollably. And it was like my mind was being decolonized. And you got to understand, a lot of brothers and sisters on the continent of Africa, they've been brainwashed harder than a lot of us, because over there, they still got images of white Jesus all over the place. So this information is really heavy to them. We think because they're on the continent that they know all of this stuff, and they've been miseducated first. So a lot of the information is they just don't have it. A lot of their information, they just don't have that ancient African information no more. So this brother, man, when he was talking about having a seizure after watching Hidden Colors, that was powerful, because like they say, man, seizures, they say, represent demons. That's like demons coming off you. That's been an old saying, old wives' tale. And white supremacy is an evil spirit. It's an evil, unjust spirit. And when you get the truth, sometimes your body can't take it. That's why a lot of black folks, there's a lot of people out there with that coon spirit who don't want nothing to do with the Hidden Colors series, because being in a shitty situation sometimes is comfortable enough for you. Sometimes being in a pissy diaper is comfortable. A wet pissy diaper is comfortable. It's warm, it's wet, but it's warm and you're used to it. And then when you take a diaper off, that's when you start crying as a baby. You cry because now you're exposed. The cold wind is hitting you. You don't have that comfort zone no more. Even though that comfort zone is bad for you, you don't have it no more. So being changed, even though you need to be changed, can be uncomfortable. And there are a lot of black folks with that coon spirit who don't want to be changed, because now when you get that white supremacy spirit off you, now you're vulnerable, because now you don't know what to do, because you haven't been on your own. You haven't been independent. You haven't thought independently. You don't know what to do. So now that coon spirit is off you, that slave spirit is off you, now you gotta think for yourself. Now some people take that different ways. And again, when this brother's talking about having a seizure, that was them coon demons, that white supremacy demon being exercised off that brother. Because again, melanoid empowerment, that's a spiritual thing. You're getting back to your spiritual essence. This is why the white supremacists have always tried to stop us from practicing our own ancient African belief systems. This is why they always try to tell us, well, you ain't like them Egyptians and all that, all those hieroglyphics, that ain't you, that's us. That's why we're putting out movies with our faces on it. See, they don't want us to tap back into that metaneta. They don't want us to tap back into those hieroglyphics. They don't want us to tap back into that voodoon. They don't want us to tap back into that. Last time we got into that voodoo over in Haiti, there was a revolution. They ran all the infidels up out of there. So they know that African spiritual system is powerful. And we got to tap back into that melanoid empowerment. And that's what we do by spreading the truth. When we spread the truth to each other and bond with each other and reach out to each other globally, create our own global grassroots outreach program, that's power, because we got to stop depending on the mainstream media outlets for all of our information about each other and them finding out information about us. Because as you see with some of these executives putting out these racist ass emails, they ain't thinking about empowering us at all. So it's going to have to be a grassroots effort. This is why we got the internet, social networking. And again, some of these feds, they're monitoring these social networking sites, but that's okay. Because all we're doing is reaching out with each other. That's it. We're not doing anything nefarious, anything evil. We're reaching out to our brothers and sisters globally. And we need to continue to do that. And we need to continue to travel and reach out to brothers in London, Africa. Stop falling for that Africans got the Ebola virus nonsense. I'm going to go out there pretty soon to do some filming for the next Hidden Colors 4. I will definitely be out there, and I want to reach out to more brothers and sisters worldwide. I can't wait to get over there to London. because they feel us. They're going through some of the same things we're going through. They're going through police brutality over there. They're going through a lot of stuff over there that we're going through. Discrimination, housing discrimination. Same thing. So we need to reach out. Beautiful people. Fine sisters, by the way. They got some beautiful sisters over there in Holland. Beautiful African sisters. And they choose hard, too. I'm married, but shit, they choose hard. So you single brothers over there, if you want to try to come up, go to Holland, man. They got a lot of nice fly sisters that's choosing heavy. But I digress. Let me get one more call before I get out of here. What's up? Who's calling?
Yeah, how's it going, Flex?
What's up? Who is this?
This is Jay, man. Calling from New Orleans, bro. I want to congratulate you for your trip out to the instrument there, man.
Yes, indeed. Much respect, brother.
Yes, sir. How's it going, man?
I'm good. I'm just chopping up game. What's on your mind real quick?
It's not real quick, man. I'm having a female issue. I don't know if you can address it right now.
Let's address it real quick. Let's give me the shorthand version of it.
Shorthand, man. Met this chick. We were friends since high school. We rendezvoused real quickly, maybe 3 years later. I met up with her, went through an exchange where she came to visit where the city where I'm at, New Orleans. She came for something other than the fact. Whatever the case, I hooked up like a flight for her to come down, and basically the transaction for that it put a sour taste in the mind. I wrote down her credit card information. So basically, I had to hook up on the flight. My sister's boyfriend works for Delta, and I was trying to coordinate with him. He's in the military, so he's in California. Trying to coordinate with him, and basically, I wrote down the credit card information to give it to my brother-in-law, and she saw and thought that it was weird, which I can agree, but basically, she's been giving the cold shoulder since then, thinking maybe I'm a creep or whatever. And I don't know what to do for me. I really like her. I want to see where we can go. I don't even know if I burnt out the whole possibility or not.
So where do y'all stand now?
Where we stand, she said she needed time, which is probably like a week without talking to her. We're on texting right now. I went to Georgia probably like a week ago to see some family members out there, and she didn't want to see me. So basically, I understand that it's the L, but I put a lot of work into it, and I don't want to throw it to the side right now.
So basically, old girl didn't kind of kick you to the side and basically sound like you don't want to accept that.
I don't want to accept it because I put a whole bunch of work into it, man. I ain't willing to let it go right now. But if it is, then I just have to take the L.
Well, I want
I'm trying to figure out how can I maneuver and get back in on her good side.
Well, I want you to listen to the words of this song.
Nah, don't even do me like that, Flex. I already know what time it is.
One last cry, brother. Leave it all behind, brother. Put it out of your mind. This time, brother. Because you're living a lie.
You a fool, bro. You right. A fool, man. I appreciate it. Right, I'm going to go ahead and take your advice, man. You're leaving. Chuck it up to the game. Dog.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. God damn.
All right. Take care, man. God bless, brother.
Yes, indeed. Shit, it's over. It's over, brother. The relationship is over. Let's charge it to the game. She told you, I ain't trying to fuck with you. This nigga's trying to have that one last cry and get his little money back. No. Get it out of your mind the very last time and have that one last cry and keep it pushing. Anyway, y'all, thanks for tuning into the Tariq Elite Show. Join me on Ustream this Sunday. We got a brand new Crispy episode this Sunday. You know, people in Holland were asking me, they're like, when is the next Crispy episode? So worldwide, people love the Crispy show. So go to the Crispy Puppet Show on YouTube if you haven't seen it. The Crispy Puppet Show. That's our web series, our comedy web series, and we got a new episode of the Crispy Show coming up this Sunday. So y'all tune in to Ustream, and I will holler at you, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget, go to TariqRadio.com for the brand new Mackish package. Get that right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a holler. Peace.